Today on Real Radio.
God, in the true definition of the word, like Noah Webster put it, God was tolerant. God endured my stupidity. He endured my rebellion.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. Now, in today's climate of political correctness, we sure hear a lot about tolerance. What about tolerance? Is tolerance among the various words that are being redefined these days? Well, a lot of people would say yes. And that's what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses as he continues his series taken from this section of 1 John chapter 4. It's called Living in the Days of Deception.
By the way, many of the words, as Noah Webster put this together for his whole life, many of the words have scripture references in your Bible. That's the original dictionary. Now you go buy some piece of junk at the local bookstore and you pay real money for it. It's pathetic. Listen to what he says. Tolerance, tolerant, toleration. Able to endure with another's mindset or understanding. To extend toleration to an opposing view or to an opponent. To suffer or to endure with someone else's belief while not agreeing with it. Really? That's the definition of the word. But why is it today that if someone comes against you and your belief, they can be labeled as being a hate crime promoter? Or if you tell someone on the street by handing them a tract at the town square over here, Jesus loves you, are you going to go to heaven? You can know for sure that somebody goes to a police officer and says, that guy's promoting hate crime. What is this? What's going on? He's intolerant. What is happening? And you say, well, that's outside these walls, Jack. That's out there in the world. No, this is the world that we go out to give Christ to. And I argue with you tonight that it's already seeped into the church. User-friendly services, messages that don't shake and rattle anybody, don't upset, don't quote a verse that's going to cause conviction. You could get sued. There's a lawsuit going on. I'm not allowed to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it. There's a lawsuit going on where someone on a radio program said a certain word, got a certain group of people who practice a certain form of lifestyle all up in arms, and they rammed into the Supreme Court to try to get that Christian program off the air. What is wrong? America is ill, and the church, rather than bowing down, needs to stand up and stand on the Word of God. Listen, if we're going to go to jail, why don't we stand up for truth? You know? It's going to happen. Satan's not stupid. He'll come after the pastors first. He does. He will. It's just a matter of time, if you ask me. America will not go without persecution. The only way that will happen is if the rapture comes. But if the Lord does not come soon, there will be persecution. No other people have ever escaped it in the ages. We're really defining words. There's an old quote, by the way, this came out of Noah Webster's 1828 edition, and I quote, "The law of love tolerates no vice or evil, but patronizes every true virtue." That's beautiful, isn't it? That's excellent. The law of love tolerates no vice or evil, but patronizes every true virtue. When the laws that are on the books of this land are not enforced by judges or judicial systems that we have currently in power, then freedoms begin to get lost, and you hear the word more and more, tolerance, or be tolerant of one another, and yet it's a hypocritical statement. I was going to read something to you. I actually didn't grab it tonight. I don't know if you were at the National Day of Prayer at the city, but the mayor, and she is to be commended, the mayor stood up and read a poem a poem prayer that was absolutely incredibly convicting and powerful and enlightening. And she had the guts to read it, and it was definitely a Christian poem. I tell you, she gave great praise, glory, and honor to Jesus Christ the other day. And it was powerful. Out there on that city lawn in front of the city, it was spectacular. And I'm wondering, she made the comment after she read it. She said, you know, it's not easy to be in the position of mayor and to say these things, but I'm going to keep saying them. Well, God bless her. But we live in an age right now where we have taggers who cost you and I a lot of money. Seems innocent, huh? Tagging, unless you go to Singapore, could cost you your... You know, anybody remember the Singapore guy, the American that got caned? Will he ever do that again? Oh, he'll never do that again. Never. But, you know, we have people that get caught tagging. And what you hear, because we live in an age of tolerance, you know. You can't come down on him. He was simply expressing his First Amendment rights. And so he was tagging on public property. Isn't that amazing? Well, what's wrong with that? That's exactly my point to what we're talking about tonight. When the church stands up and says, listen, the Bible says that this guy sleeping with this girl, we've confronted them alone, we've brought witnesses, we've done that, and now we bring it before the church so that they be convicted and come back to Christ. This is what the Bible says to do. When was the last time you were at a church that did it? Well, maybe because the last 10 churches I went to, nobody was sleeping together. Well, I tell you, the bigger the church, the bigger the problem. Well, you wouldn't do that, would you? If I can't do it, then I have to quit. Because now I've become fearful of men. And I can't do that. It's bad enough just to battle with satanic temptation. Don't preach this message. People might not come back. What do you do? Hey, I could die of a heart attack tonight and go home and be very happy about it. That could happen any moment, you know? Or I could preach this message and the next two messages and get in a lot of trouble and just be glad that the Lord is on the throne. Yeah, the youthful tagger is just expressing his First Amendment right, while the imbecile curses and swears in public and is now labeled one who is literacy challenged. I live near a green belt where there's a little, you know, waterway flowing and the trees are all there and it goes for, I don't know, about a mile or so. And when you walk over to that green belt, there's a sign and it says, by ordinance of the city of Chino Hills, no profanity allowed. And you see kids walk by going, what the H-E double hockey sticks is this doing here? Wait, can't you read? I have my doubts. Maybe they have a problem. But, you know, I tell you, when someone's just cussing and cussing and cussing, oh, look, he's literacy challenged. Everybody's got a foul mouth. He's got a foul mouth. Jesus says, out of their mouth, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. But you see, we've redefined things. I'm not fighting being overweight. I'm horizontally challenged. See? Sounds great. Makes you feel good. We're all a touchy-feely kind of a world, and I know you're not liking this tonight. But listen, it's creeping into the church. I believe that modern tolerance is negligent. The second thing that we consider here under this first point still, this could be another series within a series, that deception of this tolerance cry often reappoints standards, alters standards. There's things, for example, that I could have never been caught doing as a teenager, which now is not only tolerated, it's almost accepted. In fact, we have leaders in the community that's saying, well, you know what, they're just kids. The other day in the news, maybe you saw it, where a drive-by shooting came by. They were shooting somebody because they were you know, you got to go kill somebody and then you're in the club. If you shoot somebody, you're in the gang. So they shot that one-year-old little girl, killed her dead. A neighbor Now, they just showed the mom pouring her guts out on TV. Then the neighbor says, we can't hold the children responsible. They don't know what they're doing. I'm sorry. But that lady is in deep, deep deception. What has happened to us? You say, well, that's out there. It's creeping into the church. It's creeping into the church. It's where we live. Reappointing of standards. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but that way ends in death. There's a way that seems right to a man, but that way ends in death. Proverbs 14:12. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe to those who call good or evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, mixing it all up. Oh, man, look, that is so evil. Isn't that great? Wow. Do we hear that today? God says, woe unto them. Judges 17:6. In those days, there was no king in Israel, so everyone did what is right in his own eyes. You know what that's called? That's called anarchy. That's humanism, existentialism. What feels good to me is what rules. Look out for number one. If it feels good, I'm just expressing myself. So you see, if I can shoot somebody to be in a gang, I'm just expressing myself. You have to tolerate me. My father wasn't around when I was growing up. My mother abused me, so now I go out and I do this. Listen, if your father was never around and your mother abused you, I got an answer for your life. It's wonderful. It will set you free. His name's Jesus. And you will be set free. But we reappoint standards in this twisted culture, and it's wrong, all because of the cry for tolerance, and it's creeping into the church. Another thing under this first point still is deception by redirecting values. It's a deception of redirecting values. What is valuable? I'll tell you what the Bible says is valuable. That for us that we preach the word, that's our chief purpose as a church to a lost world, that we preach the word to the world. But listen, as Christians, what is our chief purpose inside this building? That is that we praise the Lord and worship the Lord. The value is the soul. The church is the only institution on the face of the globe that values a man's soul, even if he be Hitler himself. Only a Corrie ten Boom could reach out and love the Nazi hitmen that raped her and her sister over and over again and lead and witness and share Christ with them. How can that happen? Only through Jesus Christ, because this word that we preach values the soul of every man. But today, as Norman Geisler says in his books, that the moment God dies in the thinking of men, man turns and kills man, because there's no longer any value. When God is dead in your thinking, you'll do anything. When God is dead, listen, even in the life of a Christian, when God is no longer, you're backslidden in your thoughts or in your way. It may not be so visible publicly, physically, outwardly, but you're backslidden in your heart, in your mind, and you've let go. You've taken a sabbatical from God. What happens? Anger, violence, adultery, fornication, drunkenness. You backslide. God values us. He values the world so much, He sent His only Son. In this day and age, because we are to value the soul, we are to preach the Word and the true Word of God. Not that there's a false Word of God. There's a false Word of the Antichrist. There's only the true Word of God. Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. That's the gospel. But listen to this. Paul says, I'm going to preach the cross. Jesus crucified. Salvation through him. It's the power. It's how men get saved. But if you live in an age, now watch this. Don't worry, we're not going to finish. We're going to do this first point. I see some of you going, holy cow. When we assign an un- or non-biblical definition to this word tolerance, we are creating a storm for the future. Because the people who cry this song also have this logic or belief system that somehow you, the system, everybody must accept me as I am, and I am not responsible for any negatives that you might see in me. In fact, rather than me changing, you have to change so that I'm accepted in your sight. I owe you nothing, you owe me everything. And every man is doing this to his own demise without Christ. I am this person. I will not change. I cannot change. I am me. In fact, I like it this way. You must change and accept me. I will not comply with your rules because I didn't make them. Some other individual made them. I don't know him. I will go by my own rules. This is where we live. This is why our children are being tempted to go astray, because it appeases or appeals, I should say, to the flesh. Can you believe what the Bible says? Listen, Leviticus 20, verse 13. Leviticus 20, 13. Can you believe this? If a man lies sexually with another man, as he does with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination before God. They shall be put to death. Their blood shall be upon their own heads. Can you? When's the last time you heard that on Oprah? But listen, honestly, if you hear this verse read, this is the holy, holy word of the eternal God. Do you think God goes, man, I don't know if I should have told Moses that. Because out in the 21st century, things could get a little dicey with that. Do you think God thinks like that? God says, this is the truth. A man who has sex with a man kills both themselves. Isn't that funny? It's not funny. I mean that with tongue in cheek. I don't mean that. Isn't it strange that in the Old Testament days, if two men were caught doing that, they would be killed, stoned to death? Isn't it amazing that today the end result's still the same? Two men with each other, the proteins released in another man's body kills that other man? Paul said that in the book of Romans. He didn't even know it. It was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That when another man is when a man is with another man, it says that they receive with inside of them their due recompense of their error. Wow. How did Paul know biochemistry? He didn't, but the Holy Spirit does. You think God is a party pooper because he doesn't want men to be with men? Or how about God being a life lover and a life giver, and he wants mankind to propagate and live on? Again, in this argument, where is the evolutionist, hypocrite? Where's the evolutionist when it comes to homosexuality? The survival of the fittest. If you're an evolutionist, how can you tolerate homosexuality? You see, you tolerate it because it's a spiritual issue and you don't care about your so-called science. It's false. It's a fraud. You don't shoot the homosexual. You love them to Jesus. No Christian says, stay away from me, back off, No, you reach out and say, listen, Jesus Christ loves you. You want real love? I'll tell you about real love. That's the message they need to hear. We say it, we'll be labeled intolerant and hateful people because they don't understand logic, they don't understand love, they don't understand God. How can they understand us? In Genesis 9:5, God says, surely for your lifeblood I will demand a reckoning. From the hand of every beast I will require it, and from the hand of every man. from the hand of every man's brother I will require the life of a man. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood must be shed, for in the image of God he made man. This is the Holy Bible. Do you know why God says this? Because he loves mankind and does not want man to kill man. But when God dies in man's thinking, man turns and kills man. And then final verse here, 1 Corinthians 6:9. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. No fornicators, no idolaters, nor adulterers, no homosexuals, no sodomites, no thieves, no covetous, no drunkards, no revilers, nor extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God." If you keep reading, he says glorious things. He says, "And such were some of you, but now you've been washed and saved and justified." I deliberately picked these verses here tonight because the world will say God is intolerant. Listen, they'll say God is intolerant. Do you hear what I'm saying? The world says God is intolerant when he, all our lives and their lives, he has waited with patience and mercy. When we were astray, he didn't kill us. He didn't take us away with a stroke. The book of Proverbs says, "He who is often reproved and rebuked hardens his heart, and God will take him away without remedy." Look at you. Look at me. Did God take you or I away in our rebellion? He waited. God, in the true definition of the word, like Noah Webster put it, God was tolerant. God endured my stupidity. He endured my rebellion. And he, the word in the old King James Bible for tolerant is forbearance. He exercised forbearance all my life until the gospel came into my heart. And even still, he's forbearing, putting up with me. God is intolerant? You see, what we hear today is so wrong.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4, where the apostle tells the reader not to be deceived. Now, what we heard today, which deals mostly with political correctness and the redefinition of the word tolerance, it's part of a mini-series called Living in the Days of Deception. Living in the Days, D-A-Z-E, of Deception. It's part of Pastor Jack's larger collection of lessons taken from this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, have you seen our Monday night television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? I hope you have. We also have an app for your smartphone by that same name, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. We just like to make things easy for you. Remember, it's free. Here on Real Radio, you've heard us mention things like Journey. That's one of our television programs that airs on his channel. Words to the Wise, that's Pastor Jack's devotional, which I personally love, and you can get in your email inbox if you'd like. Our Wednesday Night Study, which also airs on hischannel.com live. Our Real Radio podcasts, and of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's our Monday night TV program that deals with, well, real life issues from a biblical perspective, and a whole lot more. I'm peeking at mine right now on my smartphone. There it is, all at my fingertips. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs and the new free app for your smartphone. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.